Why am I having a conversation with somebody that your only concern in my body is my vagina, and you're using code words? So how do you wash the, you know? So do you spread the, you know? Just say it, clitoris, lips. Say it. What's up, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Woman Beat. Oh my gosh, it's good to be back, you guys. It's good to be back. Last week was. If we think about it and we have more to say on the topic of childhood, we definitely will do another episode. So, I mean, you guys will know once that drops, because we would like to believe that you're already following the podcast on all platforms and you get notified when we post. That being said, what's up, you guys? How you been? What's going on? Wait, let me try my... I said this week I'm going to try like my sexy voice on podcast and see how it...
Give it a try, baby.
And since we're talking to ladies, I know that nobody's going to lie to me. So, you guys,
you know what's interesting?
In what?
Lately, I've been feeling like, I need to get in touch with like my seductive, you know, feminine, self.
Yeah,
the way I talk, the way I work, the way I look.
So that's how I'm feeling as well. Like, the closer that I get to 30, I'm feeling like I want to come into like my proper rich auntie, pretty auntie space. So for the rest of the day, I'm going to be using my sexy voice to introduce the podcast. But yeah, so today we're going to start with another episode of Mado.
That didn't last.
The switch in the voice. The switch in the voice is crazy. But anyway, we're going to start with an episode of Mado. Okay, so as usual, I got this from Sadixin. Sadixin has the craziest scenarios. But anyway, this one is a short one. It says, hi, Mr. Dixon. I had this horrible experience while growing up, which made me to have sort of a dislike for women. While growing up, I stayed with my auntie, who happens to have 6 girls, and I was the only boy in the house. I have seen pain, I have hugged pain, and I have dined with it. So poetic. Then he says, I could remember vividly how I used to wash period pants belonging to my auntie's daughters. The trauma is still with me and won't go till death. Mm-hmm. I sort of have a huge dislike towards ladies because of this, and it's really affecting my dating experience.
Okay,
please help. Does it?
So this is from a guy.
Yeah.
Oof.
While growing up, he lived with his auntie that had 6 girls,
and they used to make him wash period pants
of the daughters. Now he's traumatized, and it's affecting his dating experience.
Wow. I'm sorry. Ouch. I'm like, actually, I'm sorry, because I don't even know what it would be like for me to wash period pants for other females. Like, even for when my own siblings, right, my sisters, if they're really sick, having to just do that for someone else, it's not exactly something that you are enthusiastic to do to start with. To now, you know, do that for what? As a man, I don't know. That's a lot. Yeah, that's a lot to do. Like, that's you.
Yes.
That's a lot to do. And I don't know. I think that you have to do some mindset reengineering, you know. You have to do some mindset reengineering to see period for what period is. I don't like the sight of blood, so I cannot imagine or understand what it is that you went through. But I try to imagine, and I'm already feeling very nauseous.
Yeah.
But maybe mindset engineering and just going back to those experiences in you. I don't know what therapist you need to see, but you shouldn't live with that trauma you shouldn't live with that all the days of your life, because really and truly, I don't know why anyone would put you through that experience in the first place. I don't know why anyone would force you to do that kind of thing. But for whatever reason, just know that it's one, that person's bad behavior, really.
Facts.
Bad behavior. It's just bad behavior. And then, and period is period. As long as this earth remains, people will always have periods. Women will always have periods, pardon me. And see it as, I don't know how you see it. Maybe you see it as, I don't know. Honestly, I think I'm done. I should stop laughing because I don't know.
See, I don't know. I just don't know. Like, I don't know.
But I'm sorry. Like, that's such a horrible
experience.
Mm-hmm. To do that repeatedly, and not because you're trying to do it out of empathy or doing it out of assistance, but being forced to do it. Like, that's a lot. That's a lot. And I'm really sorry.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. I'm really sorry.
For the life of me, I don't understand why there's so many Nigerian stories of people living with members of their family and then being treated like this. Because if this is his aunt, I'm imagining it's either his mom or his dad's sibling. And I don't understand how you could treat somebody else's child like that. Because growing up in our house, like, it's even those people that we used to envy. Because when they come, they're not allowed to cook. Bam. They're not allowed to wash plates. Bam. They're not allowed to do any of that. Your guest is king.
Yes.
If there was no food in the house, they would eat, we'll starve. Like, that was the MO. Like, a guest in the house, like a cousin, a family member coming to live with us was king.
You really want to clean the house.
You understand?
Like, your cousin legit be messing up. You really want to clean up after.
You understand?
I don't know.
They were king. I don't understand why there's so many stories of people's children going to other people's houses to live, maybe just because it's a tough time and then you trust your sibling. And I'm like,
I think, like, you rightly just pointed out, it's how you're brought up.
Yeah.
Right. And it's also, I mean, it's one how you're brought up. It's another thing of the kind of person that you have become in terms of how you see other people. Because if you're Christian or Muslim, there's a golden rule. You know, treat other people the way you want to be treated. Treat other people's kids the way you want your own kids to be treated.
You know,
if you decide to ignore that, because there's a conscience in everybody. You know what it is that, you know, you shouldn't do to somebody else. You know. It's not like you don't know. You know. Except that conscience has been smeared so badly by your own past experience or by how life has treated you that you now begin to sort of like project
degenerate.
That.
Degenerate. Yeah.
Except that has been badly, you know, badly smeared. But other than that, like, well, I don't know. Like, it just is, like you already said, it's how you're brought up one. It's kind of experiences you've allowed and how you've allowed those experiences shape your heart. That your heart is no longer shaped in the love shape anymore. It does not form trapezium.
It's like an octagon now.
You know.
Because it's broken by the sides. It's broken by the sides. They're chewing off the sides.
That's a better description, yeah. You know, but that's so...
It really is, bro.
We should talk about this thing another day, actually.
Yeah.
People
being mistreated. Yeah. I think he thinks in the dilemma, he thinks it's the washing of the blood that's traumatic. But it's really you being in a position where your child, you're vulnerable, you're with an adult that's meant to protect you and they expose you in that way.
That is so true.
Yeah. That is traumatizing.
True. Yeah.
That is traumatizing. So true. So, bro, we just hope that, you know, you heal. And it's a conscious decision to heal, to not be defined by your story, and to make a conscious decision that, you know, the women that you're dating or the wife you're going to marry is more than what flows out of her once in a month. And you really can't let whoever has hurt you this much take even more from you and, like, completely dictate how your future runs. You need to, at some point, take the reins over your life again and say, you know what? It happened. No problem. I'm going to open my heart to a good woman that's going to treat me way better than my auntie and her daughters did.
Spot on. Oof. My girl's got wisdom.
Come on, baby. Let's hobbies.
Well, going back to that sexy voice, I think.
All right. So, you guys, our topic for today is, why is society so uncomfortable with the word vagina? But it's bigger than that, isn't it? It's like, why is it that everything that concerns female hygiene, the female reproductive organ, why is it difficult for us to have conversations about it in social settings? Whereas the other gender that God made with sand can actually use their own genitalia to make jokes.
Oh, you just read my mind. Because I would say someone would comfortably say dickhead.
Yeah.
And nobody reads anything to that.
Or would say, oh, you're cocky.
Yeah.
Or, oh, you're being a dick.
Yeah. And nobody...
Nobody says, imagine, you're being a vagina. It never flow. It never flow. It's not sweet. It no flow. Yeah. But yeah, why is society so uncomfortable? And I'm saying society because both men and women are... uncomfortable around, you know, female genitalia, You know, like it's taken centuries for us to even start discussing the clitoris and females' G-spots. Like those kind of things were like unheard of in society, that you bring that up as a conversation. Whereas men's pleasure has always been, you know, trendy. So why? What's going on? Anyway, we're going to start with, you know, as usual as we do, questions. So my first question to you, Osei, is how do you see your vagina? How do you see your vagina? What is your relationship?
With my vagina.
With your vagina.
With my vagina.
With your vagina.
I'm just saying.
That's how I'm going to be saying it throughout this episode. Vagina.
Very intimate.
Come on, baby. Let's have it.
That's my baby. That's my baby.
I like that.
Intimate. That's going to welcome other babies. But yeah. I think I've just really been very protective about it. Right. One of the biggest experiences I had was, I think a couple of years back, I was being treated for, can't remember what it is, but it was an infection, right? And the gynecologist has just like sat me down. So I've always been very curious. I've always been very, anything that has to do with the vagina, I've always been very interested. Like, I think some of my favorite pastimes then used to just be to learn about it.
The vagina.
Learn how to care for it. Learn how to, like, I've just been very fascinated. About, like, the organ that it is, yeah. You know, the it's so versatile.
Yeah, it actually is.
It's so facts. Versatile. Facts. Like, it's so, like I'm saying, you know, see how I'm blushing red.
Now, wow, you toast your vagina.
I don't even know. But, you know, and he did say something about how delicate it is. And one of the things he said is every other part of your body, if something goes up, goes in there, it can jump out. Or it can flow out, which I don't really think so, because I mean the ears, something goes in, like comes out.
Yeah.
But he was trying to explain to me how careful I need to be in that if something goes up because of the way the vagina works and all of, you know, the vulva. I mean, it's actually vulva. They just found a term for it, you know, as vagina. But yeah,
the vagina is actually the
hole.
The road.
The road.
It's the road. It's the pipe inside.
Yeah.
So the organ that we see. Out, yeah, is the vulva.
It's the vulva. So, and then he said, if something goes in there, that because of the way it works, once it goes in, he was trying to explain that it just closes.
Yeah,
which is why you see that women have a lot of like toilet infections, STDs and the rest, because it goes in there, it doesn't flow out again. Yeah. There's a pipe road. It's almost like a pipe road. It just keeps going. And it's crazy because, you know, when there's something going on in there, you never really know until it begins to manifest. And sometimes when it starts to manifest, it's already too late. So I'm just like, oh, really? So since
not
then,
wide-eyed. For you guys that can't see yourself, she's wide-eyed. Like, oh, really?
You know, I have a very photographic mind. So I'm just like picturing. But for me, my relationship with the vagina is, like I said, very protective, right? I don't want to see it go bad, you know? And it's also because I know that it's like a baby, it cannot speak. I can't see. Like, if something's wrong with my eye, I can easily see. If something's wrong with my nose, I can easily, you know, tell. But with it,
there's a problem.
It's under there. So, I mean, it's my vagina. Like, I have to take care of it. Why am I laughing so much? But yeah, my relationship is really protective.
Yeah.
It's quite intimate as well. I low key just want to ensure that my vagina is good, is healthy, you know, as much as I can, and you know, go for medical checks and just ensure that it's as healthy as it can possibly be. You know, that's my relationship. I'm very protective. Just all I have to say, and I'm very curious. I want to know what's up. I want to know what's going on. I want to know how best to treat it. I want to know what to avoid, what to eat, and what not to eat. I'm just very curious because it's very versatile in its role. Like, it's very versatile. It can bring pain and it can bring pleasure. Like, it's just a baby girl.
It's just a girl.
Yeah. What's your own relationship? I can't believe I was this excited.
I'm confused.
I don't but know.
We'll talk about that once mics go off. So mine has been up and down, actually. Initially, I just didn't understand why there was so much attention that this part of my body was attracting with regards to me hitting puberty and like the conversations that were being had around it. It felt like, just don't talk to me about it. Like, I don't want to act like it's there or even exist. Like, ew, stop it. I was very, very uncomfortable with the idea of having a vagina. I had a lot of guy friends, and for me, it was like a stumbling block. It was like, there's certain conversations I can't have now because I have a vagina. There's certain games that I want to play with my guy friends that I can't play because I have a vagina, you know? So it was very, our relationship was very, like, I was very, very distant from my vagina, which makes sense because a lot of decisions that I was making then sexually, it could only be somebody who was distant from their reproductive organ that could have made those decisions. Mm-hmm. Because I look back now and I'm like, you should have never had access. You should have been bounced from the door, you know, but I was very distant from it. It was just like over there. And I was like this person, like completely separate from it, you know. But it's only very recently, you know, I think something happens when as a woman, you read more about your organ and you're in spaces where you can comfortably discuss issues affecting your reproductive organ, because many things are then normalized. When you're the only one dealing with your vagina, there's certain things that happen that you're just like, should it do that? Should it smell like that? Should it remove that? Should it do this? And you're by yourself and you're getting into your head a lot. And it makes the vagina a very comfortable, uncomfortable conversation, because it's like, I don't even know what it's doing and why it's doing what it's doing. Like, I'm trying my best to do this, but it's not working, you know? Whereas when you get into spaces where you can freely talk about, which is what helped me anyway, to properly embrace my vagina, is when I go into spaces where I could freely talk about, oh yeah, like I saw this thing come out of it. Like it was this color, it was this consistency, it was this texture. And hearing that resounded to me as well from other women saying, oh yeah, so that is this. And it just like properly like normalized this organ, you know. It just made me a bit more familiar with it and what it does. And it helped us gain a level of like cordial, you know, conversation, you know. It was almost like I was getting into the wing of things. I was understanding how to clean it, how to take care of it, what it likes. Because some women would say, oh, go for lace panties. Lace panties never worked for me. Cotton panties were the way to go. Breathable panties anyway. You know, go for lace panties, go for G-strings. You know, everyone has their advice. But I think once I started to learn my own, like, okay, this is what it likes, this is what it doesn't like, this is what makes it flare up, this is what makes it itchy, it started to just feel more normal. Like, okay, it's a part of me. Like, it's actually a part of me. And then on the sexual aspect again, yeah, understanding, okay, this is where my G-spot is. That feels nice. That doesn't feel nice. I don't like that position. I like this position. All of that was just like me getting to know the vagina a bit more. And I think our relationship now is very like, we're guys. We check in with each other, yeah, you know, we help each other, even during the cycles that are really, really tough. When my organs are taking an internal beating, my vagina communicates to me and she's like, babe, you can have that chocolate. I can take it. And I'm like, are you sure you can take this pain? And then she's like, yeah, I can take the pain. And then I'll go and have the chocolate. Yeah. And she honestly does take the pain. Like, we're building trust with each other, understanding each other a little bit more. And I think now I've gotten to a point where, yeah, I'm very protective of her now. I've gotten to your level. I'm very protective of her now.
Interestingly, was I always this protective? I don't even know. But I think that when I started, you know how I told you that when I started seeing my period,
yeah,
I didn't really used to have like all the cramps that women used to have. Yeah. So all those abdomen, mine was vaginal cramps. Ooh. And I would explain to people and they're like, what is
like
that?
Like the floor of your vagina. Yes. Yeah.
Like it would,
yeah,
I don't even know how to explain.
Cramp. It would like, cramp like a muscle
actually,
pull.
Yeah, it would actually be cramping. I'm just like, baby, what's going on with you?
Talk to me.
So I couldn't explain. I mean, many people couldn't relate to it because they're wondering, like, what is a vaginal cramp? Because that's the only thing I could tell myself that it was, yeah, right? I mean, my stomach, I wasn't rolling on the floor or nothing, but yeah, my vagina was,
that pelvic floor,
was in a world of its own. And, you know, I had gone to read up on it. I think it was, I don't know if it was one conversation or there, but someone like, oh, yeah, there's, you know, there's such a thing.
Yeah.
You know, so it's And I think that people don't understand that the vagina does have such a big impact on your health. Facts. And it's not just even vaginal health.
Actually indicates your body health.
It does indicate your body health. It does affect your physical health as well.
Yes,
your emotional health. Yes. Because if anything is going down, I mean, for women, if you've ever had any infection at all, or your vagina is just not in the place where it's supposed to be, you'd find that you actually be sick. You actually, just like any other part of your body, really, that gets affected when one is.
Even more so the vagina. Yes, I've actually had a similar experience where, like, my pH was off balance and I was having like mood swings, and then I had gone to see my gyno, and he was like, "Your pH is completely out of whack. Have you been experiencing this?" When he said, I was like, "Yes," but I couldn't explain why I was having the mood swings at the time. But when he explained it and he asked, like, "Oh, have you been having this symptom?" I was like, "Yes, I have." He's like, "Your pH is completely off balance. You're not drinking water, you know, and it's affecting everything." So you're very right. Like, many times if you have a cut on your finger or you have a broken finger, it doesn't really affect your whole body. It doesn't affect your mood, your emotions, all of that. But, you know, the vagina does have that power.
Yeah.
You're very,
you know, the funny thing is, as we just said, just remember that. I don't know if, I know we're going to get there as to why people don't have these conversations. And I'm curious, do you ever, like, just look at other women's vagina and, like, trying to see what's going on now?
Fam, I saw one clitoris one day. The thing was like a pin.
I'm always so curious.
The clitoris was this tiny. I'm not going to mention which of my friends, but it was this tiny. And I had to ask her, like, "Can you even come? Like, is this a possibility for you?" Completely hidden. It was like skin. It was like literal skin, like a Barbie doll. Just tiny. What the hell is this?
Because sometimes should I really be saying, you know what? I should. I've just seen different shapes, and I'm always just curious. I want to see what the next person's vision is like. Do we all have the same thing? Facts. Do we all have the same, you know, is it the same shape? Like, God, what's going on in the person?
It's actually mad because
it's so interesting. Yeah, I understand.
Because I feel like people don't like what they can't explain and what they don't understand. And for a very long time, there were parts of the vagina that we didn't even know their purpose. I was talking to a guy friend of mine and he was confused. He was like, "What do you mean? That women have three holes?" I'm like, "Yeah, women have three holes." He was so lost. He's like, "I've visited that area a lot of times and I've only seen the one hole, you know, apart from your back hole, you know. I've only seen the one hole. What do you mean women have three holes?" I'm like, "Are you bugging right now? Like, you're telling me that you think we have sex, bleed, and pee from the same hole?
Yeah.
That's a lot on a hole." And when I said it, he was like, "You know what? That makes sense, but still, you know, there's so many things that are unknown about the vagina. Whereas with the penis, I'm not even a man, yet I know that, okay, the top is the most sensitive part. It can be circumcised or uncircumcised. The top can be a different color from the stem. All those things are just almost putting your face, it's in your face, you know, whereas vagina is just a mystery.
Yeah. Most people, even when they teach you biology in school and all this reproductive health, they never really take their time to actually explain, right? You know.
Because they don't even know.
Sure.
They don't even understand. Sure. Like,
for those people who don't know, your vagina is the hole from which you give birth.
Come on.
You have periods?
Come on.
You know, when you go for your yearly examinations, you should actually go for your examinations with your gynae. But just in case you've never, if you actually do, see that hole where they put in the, what's that thing called? That's your vagina.
The camera.
The camera. That's your vagina. They put the camera. Well.
Yeah.
And then sexual pleasure.
Yeah, your vagina.
Your vagina.
Stop saying it with, like, where they used to knock is your vagina.
Where people go to, where it's no longer private. That's
your public part.
We've had different names.
Fam.
Private parts.
Eh?
Down
Bekus. Obo.
Pinky hole.
Hoo-ha. Have you heard the hoo-ha?
No, I haven't.
Oh, Jesus. You've not heard someone call it hoo-ha?
I haven't. Jesus, no. The one I feel like is very common is VJJ. And I'm just like, you know what to say, VJJ?
Yeah, or pussy. Pussy is very common as well.
Very common, yeah. Thanks to Black American rap artists.
They've even stopped saying the word pussy now. They just say, "Oh, you're meow."
What is meow? What? Jesus Christ.
No, so since we're already on the topic, let's jump onto it. Why is society so uncomfortable with actually just calling it the word vulva, which is what it is actually?
Yeah.
It's a vulva. Why is that word the least popular word that we call this organ? If we're so uncomfortable with even calling the organ its name, how then do we even have any sort of semblance of a relationship with the organ, you know?
One, I think ignorance. Ignorance is a very big factor. Two, I think it's a disregard. I think it's a disregard because just like any other part of your body needs to be learned or understood or even cared for, your vulva, your vagina is an organ. Like it is, like your eyes, it's an organ. That's why you have doctors that are specialized in this area in the first place. You know, the way you see your optician, the way you see your, you know, consultant, your ENT, that's the same way you see your gynae. Like it's an organ. Another reason I think is hypocrisy. I think it's hypocrisy, really. Hypocrisy in the sense that, you know, fake decency, right? So we're trying to be decent and have decent conversations. But we are saying VJJ and not saying vagina or vulva, which is the medical name. But then you're saying VJJ, which automatically means you're talking about my vagina.
Yeah.
So
just call it its name.
Call it. Yeah. So somehow it has been passed on, right? It's a societal thing. It has just been passed on, you know, and it's not just even black community, even white community as well. So there's that part. Another reason that I could possibly think about is just, I don't know, people feeling, I think it's just that decency or shame. I'm not sure which one comes, because parents don't want to talk about it. You know, the other day I was talking with some very young girls and we're talking, you know, sexual education and purity and stuff, and they're saying, oh, you're I'm like, what is the name?
What is the name? Hoo-ha.
What is the name? Like, what is the name? Medically, when in your biology, what did they teach you that? It's your, say what it is. It's your vagina. Say it. It's yours. You know, you should be able to say the same way you say your nose, your mouth. So I think those reasons, and the fact that it just keeps getting passed down.
Yeah.
You know.
From generation to generation, ignorance is always there.
So I think that's it. And that translates into how people also treat the products and the things that are surrounding it as well. It's just so much shrouding and secrecy, you know, around that. It's almost like, because it's hidden between my legs, we should never talk about it. Keep everything vagina hidden.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, oh, it's hidden. So automatically conversations around it should be hidden.
Yeah.
You know, products or anything around it just should be hidden. And
yeah.
And because of that, like, it's now abnormal.
It's taboo.
It's now abnormal to say vagina in public.
Yeah, it's taboo.
It's almost like people look at you weird, like, why are you so vulgar? Mm. What's so vulgar about saying my vagina?
Don't understand. I've never understood it.
But yeah,
I completely agree with you.
What are reasons?
I think ignorance is a big factor. Like I said, people just don't like what they don't understand. You know, and there's just not enough conversations being had about this organ that is like, everybody has one. It's not that special. It's not that deep. Everybody has one. Those that don't have one accessed one either through birth or through coitus. You know, so everyone's familiar with one. But I also think sexism and misogyny play a big card in that. You know, historically in medical research, female sexual health or health in general has always been ignored. Many times, if they want to know anything that has to do like with the statistics about human health or whatever, they just use men and then just generalize it to cover us, you know. Because I think that there are many long-standing female issues that if truly but done any medical research towards, should have been taken care of. There's so many maternal deaths that could be prevented if people just give a shit about women and women's issues. So I can't, you know, take away the issue of misogyny from it, because it's a big part and it's played towards a lot of things. I read one statistic that blew my mind. How much research is going into male infertility versus how much research is going into female menstruation, like reproduction. Like, only recently did they realize that these tampons and pads that we have been using are actually causing us damage. Do you know how long we're using tampons and pads? Do you know how, for more than half of a century, we've been using this product, and you're just now telling women, like, these products are secreting a harmful substance that if your ovary gets enough of, you can't have children. That should have been on the pack.
Actually.
That should have been on the pack. But no, you're too concerned about why men can't get hard. An issue that affects only 8% of men, whereas periods affect all of us. Like for me, there's that huge discrepancy in medical research. But I'm happy to see day by day more women entering into that sector and making this their, you know, focus. And I know that over time, we might be able to get to a point where these issues become so frequently normalized that, you know, it's no longer a... Even the rates of gynecologists that are comfortable with discussing your own sexuality with you is low. Before I found my new gyno, the three gynos that I had dealt with, which were women, my gyno now is a guy. I'm more comfortable discussing my sexual health with him than the women, because there's all sorts of code words. They're uncomfortable just coming out and telling you, so when last did you... Just say it.
Oh my God. Do you know?
Just say what is. What is this? Why am I having a conversation with somebody that your only concern in my body is my vagina, and you're using code words? So how do you wash the, you know? So do you spread the, you know? Just say it. Clitoris, lips. Say it. Let me know what you're asking
feeling,
me.
If you're feeling like, just even say labia.
Do you understand? Just say what you want to say. So if you now move the to the side, and then you clean the and then.
How
so,
does that help anybody?
It's exhausting to see how many people are still just very uncomfortable with something that should be very, very normal. It's very, very natural. God put it there.
Yeah.
It exists. Why are we tiptoeing around it, you know? And you were going to say...
No, when you were saying that, there's nothing about it. When you say women talking to you, I find that half of the time it's even judgmentally influenced questions.
Yeah,
I don't
it's
know
like,
how. It's
at
like,
your age. Fam, at your age.
Like, I didn't come to you to be judged or to confess, to confess anything. Just talk to me. And I think I was reading something, and I think, and what did I even see? Over what, 60%? And I think that statistic is actually even low, because over 60% of women are very uncomfortable talking about it. And you find that with that kind of, I mean, with this kind of, let's not ignorance. Yeah. How do we then efficiently or effectively, whatever, care, like, first of all, get to know about your vagina and actually care about it? Because I referenced something, and I think it's from, there's a post that I saw online where, someone had put out a video and showing pad and calling everyone and saying,
why is this particular topic off limits?
And from
in my content
on,
creation,
yes,
yeah,
yeah. But you want to see me travel, you want to see me do everything, but you don't want to.
This is a part
that
of
I'm,
me too.
I'm bleeding,
yeah.
And then I remember, I mean, her post was really about people being aware and her showing like a menstruation what was that pad, sanitary pad. I was going to say sanitary pad that you use for menstruation. And then her saying, oh no, from now on, once I'm on my period, everybody's going to hear. And then I was just thinking about it. I'm like, wait, actually, I'm not sure why we are very like, even when you want to buy sanitary, like, you be in places and people
are shy
to buy sanitary towel. Then the first thing, oh, sanitary towel. Oh no, please, it's pad. it's pad. It is what it is, you know. And I even added and said, oh, I even had just seen something where you go into supermarkets, you know, condoms are displayed. Condoms are actually still used in the same body part, so, but they are displayed in the counter.
On the counter,
and everybody's comfortable with that. But then you put pads somewhere behind. It's always behind, like, at the back, and then I'm bleeding, I'm in pain, and I'm supposed to be going all the way, taking my marathon walks all the way just for me to get part that I want to use. And then if you want to now buy it, they have to put it in nylon. If you don't put it in the nylon, you know,
everyone will know that you bought pad.
Why shouldn't everybody know? Doesn't everybody expect you to be on your...
I don't understand.
If you're not even in your period at a particular age, it's a
problem. You should even hide the condom more than the pad, because the pad is very natural. It happens. Condom is a choice. Do you think I chose to bleed? if you could opt out,
I would opt out.
You know that when they say unsubscribe from receiving this?
I will. I'll opt out and only subscribe the day that I want to get pregnant. After I finish getting pregnant,
opt out again. Do you think I opted for this, you know? So I don't know. I would never understand, you know, the different reactions that society gives both topics, you know. Like, for me, I just think we definitely have to have some repatriations and some excessive movements. Like, there was one that I saw a woman literally carry soiled, like, the panties had, like, blood on it, and she was at Congress because she was speaking up for the accessibility of, you know, women to period products. Like, whether you're poor or rich, you bleed. Yeah, so why are you making actually these things unaffordable for these ladies and exposing them to risks? Most of them have to end up using, like, cloves, you know, like, things that are very, very dangerous for their vaginas. So, yes, I really believe, like, I was supporting her. I was in the comments, like, definitely, this needs to be said, because there's places, hotels you go to, you walk in, the condom is already in the jar. You just need to pick one. It's so free. It's so accessible. Whereas something that affects young women, you've priced it at such a price point that you're almost telling them it's either you can afford this, or, you know, risk your vagina's health, which is just, it's just a very... It's just a very unfair balance.
There was a cafe I visited one time when I traveled, and I was so impressed. I mean, apparently it's a normal thing over there, but I don't think it's a normal thing over there because I've been to different cafes and different toilets. And I went to the toilet and I saw
pure pads, products.
Yeah, like tampons, pads, like the way they put tissue, just right beside the tissue, you know. I mean, some airport hotels, toilets, you see sanitary bags. But this one, they went a step further, and I was really impressed because it shows me that you're thinking, right? The same way I'll need a tissue when I need to use the toilet.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, it's
if cleaning. I come on without knowing, if my cycle comes earlier, yeah.
And even if I already have a pad and somehow I stay longer, or my body system has changed and I'm bleeding, you know, more rapidly than I should, you know, you've just thought of something to make me a bit more comfortable. I don't feel like it's something that I have to, what, go around looking for a pad or be ashamed or be, like, it's, I don't know. I think we need to do better because...
We really do.
Because men and women alike. Men and women really alike. Do. Like,
because women are even still uncomfortable. Like, this is something that you have. Yeah. Why is it so difficult for you to call it its name, for you to express, you know, concerns about it? And many women have, like, cysts and fibroids that could have been avoided if they had just voiced out serious issues that they were experiencing without the fear of being shamed.
Even infections, yes. Right? You see this thing where someone says, oh, they're itching, and... You know, every
immediately
time
people think, oh, it's because you're dirty, or it's because you're having sex with multiple men. Well, this is a normal, all it takes is a small change to your diet that upsets your pH balance. Boom, you have an infection.
You know what? You know, the funny thing is, even if I was having sex with multiple men,
what's the big deal?
If I have an infection in my vagina, I should be able to say that, and other women should be comfortable discussing. Because here's the thing, if I had a pimple in my face, nobody's asking me whether I'm not washing my bed sheets on my pillowcases. Nobody's talking about whether your house is dirty. You know, if you have acne, if you have rashes on your face, nobody's talking about, oh, trying to look for the fault, right? Everybody's like, oh, pimple, ah.
Let's fix that.
You can use this. So why can't I say, oh, hey, I'm itching? You know, why can't I just say it? And without you having to judge, okay, how many men have you slept with?
Yeah.
You know, like, leave that. Leave that morality question, and, you know,
focus on the issue at hand. All right. So our last question is, how do you think me and you and, you know, some of the ladies that are listening can assist with normalizing this very, very important, very, very powerful organ of our body in conversations to make it a more conducive environment for women to speak out?
Me, I would say, first of all, just learn about your vagina so that when you're talking from a place of knowledge, right? Ask questions. And when somebody gives you an off answer or response or even a look, don't take it to heart. Don't feel any way. Take it as it's one of two things. They're either not comfortable talking about it or they don't have any knowledge about it. Because if you actually talk to women who are very knowledgeable about vagina, they never give an off
response. Yeah.
You can't come and tell me now that I'm not even that knowledgeable, but you can't come and talk to me about vagina and I'm like, why? Like, I'm not, because it's vagina. So if anybody gives you that, just know, this one is not, it's ignorance.
It's not the right person.
It's not the right person. This person is ignorant. So don't even see it as it's the vagina issue that is the problem. It's the person who is not aware. You know, it's the person who is not, they're not aware. They're not willing to even be aware, right? And I think that just talk about it, learn about it. Like, learn about your vagina, learn about your your vaginal health, right? Because it's so important. There's so many things that I feel like women, like you said, would have avoided. There's so many things that men could have even helped women avoid. There's so many things that girls could have helped their girlfriends avoid if they would just talk about it. I remember one time we're doing a Girl Talk Tuesday, and I'm not even kidding you. It was the first time, because we're sharing, like, on the Fit Quick page, where we'll just, you know, tell people that every Tuesday, it was a no judgment zone. So everybody say, you know, you're going to talk about stuff the way it is. And it was the first time I heard about, there's this medical thing. I've never heard about it before. I can't remember. But I think, yeah, it was Olo that shared. And it's the medical issue comes up as a result of extended use of pads. So I didn't even know. I mean, yeah, they'll tell you not to use pads past a particular number of hours. But I didn't even know that there is an actual medical issue that comes up, you know, that begins to resurface
when you use
pads, yeah, for a long time, or putting tampons for a long time, you know. So talk about it, because with that you're able to even learn. Like, you're able to learn. Like, I traveled when, you know, and I was just telling my mom that I don't know. I'm noticing like a very funny color of the discharge was brown, and she was like, "Oh wait, And I started feeling like maybe I was pregnant." Because I'm like, I've never seen this before, yeah, right? And then I realized that a week or two before then, I had literally overdosed on lemon. And I didn't even think that was the issue. Because me, I was just taking lemon because I needed, like, you know, some energy boost, skin, whatever. But I literally overdosed on lemon. The same way, every now and then, my friends that know me know that if I see anything that looks like I've not seen you before, yeah, I'm taking a picture and sending to whoever that cares to listen to me.
Yeah, to say, there's something
like,
going
if I
on.
Go online, first thing is, if I go online,
I know, even they like go online because they go just tell you, say you get ovarian cysts, fibroids. No, I don't even like to go online.
I know they look at those. I just go and check what color, what happens when this color is in my head.
Yeah.
Then I'll call. Sometimes I'll probably say, oh, please, can you look at my vagina? Can you check? I think my friends are tired. Like, can you check?
But these conversations are like important.
I find that some people are not comfortable, but other people are like, okay, open, let me see. Like, can you just look at my, you know, let me know if I'm okay.
Look at my bum bum and tell me what's going on.
Because, I mean, I'd rather just say it than get to the point where it has now become such a big issue and, you know, probably need a surgery, or it has now become, like, for me, it's scary for me that the vagina itself cannot express, you know. So if it even gives you like a tiny hint, please
grab it.
please, because you don't know what's going in. Like, you don't know what's going in. It's, you just, back to your question, just talk about it, learn about it, because we owe that to every other young girl that is around you. Like, talk about it. Learn about it. If it comes up in conversations, be okay talking about it. Yeah, like it doesn't always have to be sexually related.
Thank you.
Because that's a lot of times, you know, that's the, oh, let's not talk sexual. It's not just...
Yeah, vagina does more than sex.
It's not just sex. Yeah, it's an actual organ. Give it some respect. It's an actual organ. Some people don't even have sex with their vagina and it's going through a lot. So,
just by itself, the way it follow come, he has, you know, suffering already.
Because sometimes, like, if you wear tight clothes, problem. If you wear the wrong pants, problem.
If you stay out too long and you've sweated too much, problem. If you have hair, problem. If you cut your hair, problem.
Like, someone, you shave, problem. You wax, problem. The day if you wax, after like how many days, you cannot
use, there's a temperature of water you must use. If you use another temperature of water, the skin will fall off. Like, problem always.
There's just so much around it. Like, yeah. please be comfortable. It's vagina, whichever way you want to pronounce it, vulva, labia, clitoris. Please just understand that it's an organ of the body. And if every time you hear it, the only thing you think about is sex, then you have a problem.
You have a problem, actually. It's not vagina's fault.
That has a problem, but yeah.
But yeah, I'm talking what about normalizing. Yeah. Talking about normalizing it, I think women, like you've rightly pointed, it starts with us. Like, yeah, if we are not comfortable with the organ, we don't expect another gender that doesn't even have the organ to be comfortable with it. I read an article once that talked about why a lot of women don't have orgasms. And it's literally because they get into their heads while the act is going on. Like, does my vagina smell nice? Is it wet enough? Is it this? Is it that? You know, you've not even gotten to a point of, like, comfort with your own organ. So there's no way we can even endure the other gender and say, okay, you guys, we need to stop acting weird. You know, like some men, they will literally die if they ever found out that their wives actually bled. Like if they were actually to see evidence of it. So their wives have to go through extreme measures when they're disposing of their products. It's too much, you guys. It's not that deep. Like, I get it. It's blood. But I promise you, you don't have the same response when she comes out of the kitchen and she says, oh, baby, I was cutting something and the knife hit me. You don't have that same response. Except you're just one who gets, you know, there are people like that because I'm like that, which is why I use tampons. I can't stand the sight of blood, which is different. But you can also be that person that doesn't stand the sight of blood and still be there for another person who is in pain, who is bleeding.
You don't have to see the blood to be there for
I've heard of extreme cases, men traveling out when their women are on.
You're kidding me.
They just don't want to be around the whole situation.
Fam.
But that's the point, right?
I used to send my mom to please buy me
pad. That's the point, right?
I won't be saying the pad, the kind of pad I want.
That like, you want, yeah. That's the point, right? Because the women themselves have not even gained that certain level of confidence and comfort with their bodies. They can't even talk to their partners about it and say, hey, this thing is natural. It's not the way you're seeing it, you know, like as long as it's properly taken care of during the cycle and it's not just a woman who is dirty and reckless.
Yeah.
I don't think it's something that's off-putting or unsightly, you know. Yes, after the women now get to a point where they're like comfortable around it and they've normalized it, then we can bring men into the conversation and say, okay, you know what? When you do see a lady who's been stained, you know, it's not embarrassing. I've never been embarrassed by being stained, you know. I was like, hey, wait, you don't come on.
did I just say about the one that happened to me recently?
Yeah.
That I went
and the color you wore.
It was a man that came to meet me.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not embarrassing. Like, if a guy comes up to meet you and says, sis, I think you're stained, as a woman, you shouldn't feel embarrassed, you know? I know it's hard because we're being conditioned that this thing, nobody should see it, nobody should know it, nobody should speak of it. Shh, gossip girl. But I know it's a condition, but we can break it. We can break that stereotypical, oh, everything that's female must be hidden and, you know, and just be like, you know what, thank you, bro. Do you even have a pad on you, bro? You know, maybe you picked it up or something. Go ahead.
I get that, you know, there's a lot of, the smell. Yeah, there is that, you know, there's a smell that makes you feel uncomfortable.
But this thing, is it not even a little bit hypocritical? Because as much as we're here on this podcast saying the smell, I'm still seeing a lot of stories about people having sex with women during their period. So you don't mind the smell when you're hard. You don't mind it. The smell disappear when your nose become your penis. Your nose is hard and hard of hearing.
Can we normalize saying certain things? Because when you normalize it, nobody now feels like there's a secrecy or an ick about it. But when you shroud something so much, it now becomes, you know, secretive
and almost dirty.
And mystery or evil thrives in secrecy. Right, it does. Like, if this thing is so, let's not say, that's where evil thrives.
Thank you.
That's where what you're trying to preach against, that's where it thrives.
Thank you.
You know, let's hide this thing. Let's say what it is. You know, say it to them, let them feel comfortable even asking questions. You know, let people be comfortable saying, oh, this is what I felt, you know, in my vagina this time. This is what I saw come out of it without being judged for anything. And just knowing that, okay, there are answers to these questions, you know, just, I mean, because these are the institutions that eventually impact on you.
Facts.
You know, they do.
Facts.
You know, people think that it's only social media. Actually, you go to school every day. In fact, sometimes you spend more hours in school than your parents allow you to spend on the phone. So this is, and you go to school at a phase in your life where you are being molded. You know, so certain things, if you can just normalize, just help these young people. Please don't go into a world where, you know, let's have a world where we have less fibroid issues, less cervical cancer. Like, people don't even know what cervical cancer is. People don't even know that they're supposed to check on their
cervixes.
They don't even know.
Yeah.
You know, it's now something that you see very few women knowing about, you know.
And it's very, very, I think it's one of the most prevalent issues that women experience.
And the crazy thing is, you don't even experience it until you are at a later age in your life.
By that time, it's too late.
Like, so please help us here. Help us educate people. Like, let people know. And parents as well.
Yeah.
You know,
I was just going to say that, in fact, I don't ever remember my mom using the word vagina. I can't remember any time my mom ever said that word. Like,
when I think about it,
I don't think I've ever heard her say it. she would say bum bum sha to refer to the whole part, you know, but never
bum bum.
I think it was your bum bum. let's know, guys, if you want us to do an episode about vaginal care, that's going to be in the Spotify polls. I think we'll put a poll up on the Spotify platform,
okay,
for people to vote if they want us to do an episode on vaginal care. Me, I know a lot about it because Omo, like I told you, my first search was, why is it smell like this? it used to burn. My vagina used to burn. But, you know, oh, thank God for, you know, me being open enough to even look for a solution, and the women who were kind enough to create videos where they were sharing very intimate, you know, struggles and how they were able to overcome it. You know, it's important. We will do our best to create these spaces where women can talk about these issues that are very, very important for our general health. And we'll encourage all the women who are listening to do the same in their own communities. You know, let's look out for each other. Nobody else is looking out for us.
It will also help just, you know, reduce or even eliminate like women feeling insecure. Because the more you talk about something, the less insecure women start to feel about it.
You know? Yeah. So that's it from us, you guys. Thank you so much for tuning in to Woman Being. We need to have like a catchphrase.
It's been a vagina day.
You know, you said we'll start February with our catchphrase. Like, okay, you guys, you know what? Let's make a commitment. By the time we come to you next, we're going to have a catchphrase. Thank you for tuning in to Woman Being. I feel like it rhymes, like tuning into Woman Being. Oh, it's giving. Please, that's not going to be it. Please, we're more creative than that.
I was gonna say, yeah.
But yeah, thank you guys so much. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you for listening. Please comment.
Comment.
Share. And follow us on IG, Instagram. Okay, it's the same thing.
Yeah. Woman Being on Instagram, Woman Being on Twitter. Woman Being on TikTok
and everywhere. Follow us.
We love you.
We no go do you dirty.
Okay, we're going to cut this part out.
Please do.
Bye, guys. Bye.
Bye.